Welcome to the Shine in Sales podcasts, presented by Sales Women Training, India's first and only community enabling women to excel in sales. Whether you're a corporate professional losing sleep over meeting your sales quotas, or a woman entrepreneur wondering how to get more customers, or a student pondering about the right career choice for you, Sales Women Training is the perfect community for you. We inspire you to sell better by providing you with opportunities to network and collaborate with the best sales leaders and mentors. Access to our carefully curated digital content and workshops. And above all, exclusive one-on-one mentoring with the finest sales coaches and mentors. If you would like to know more about the secrets of successful selling, do join us at saleswomentoring.com.
What inspired you as, a woman of my target age group to start this community for women to excel in sales?
Right. So as you're aware, I've spent nearly 3 decades in corporate life, in sales leadership roles in some of India's largest private sector banks and some MNC banks too. And I always found that I was the only woman sales leader in the room. So even when I worked in a very large private sector bank, known for its women-friendly policies and a lot of women leaders at the top, even there, I was only one amongst 26 regional sales heads. So that's when I realized there's a dearth of talented women in sales. And the reasons are many. There could be biases, there could be stereotypes, there could be our own socio-cultural context, and sometimes our own limiting beliefs, which make us choose accommodation over ambition and compromise over conviction. So we choose, the so-called softer functions and roles, say in HR or say in process or quality control, because we think they are more suitable. They are not so filled with pressure and targets and traveling and challenge. They are not as male dominated, because there are some professions where there are a lot of women. But unfortunately, sales is not one of them. The reasons which I already mentioned to you. I also saw that a lot of women seem to join at entry levels. 35% of entry level roles are held by women in sales. But by the time you reach the top of the ladder in the sales leadership roles, there are hardly 10 or 12%. And having been one of them, I thought that my learnings and my journey would certainly help other women to accelerate their progress towards sales leadership roles.
Very pertinent that you said that there are some careers which women steer clear of. And right. Sales being one of them, I would agree. Because my next question, Chitra, is that you mentioned in one of the blog posts, in fact, you share a lot of your experience in through your blog posts on LinkedIn, which I want to state here, that there is a lot of psychology in sales. And, if once you understand that psychology, it will help you crack the deal. So can you elaborate a bit on that?
So first of all, I really appreciate that you're following the posts and you remember them. So that itself makes my work and the content I write more meaningful for me, because it is reaching and striking a chord with my target audience, which is all women, like I told you earlier. So thank you for that. And secondly, to get straight to your question, psychology is used in selling, and it is used in order to understand the triggers and impulses which make a customer buy your product or service. Once you understand that, you can tailor make or customize your sales narrative in order to fit their particular requirement. Psychology can be used both negatively and positively. So there is negative psychology, which uses more of fear and manipulation. For example, there are certain insurance companies which use fear very, very effectively, buy it before it's too late and so on. So they use fear. And that's a way of manipulation, or that's a way of using psychology in order to induce a person to buy using fear. There is also scarcity. There is FOMO. There's a sense of urgency. You've seen that sale ends on so and so, only 2 left in stock and so on. So that is one way of clearly pressurizing or manipulating a person to buy. But there is also a positive way in which you can use psychology in selling, which is what I advocate and which is what I talk about that we use in sales mentoring, which is inspiring the customer to buy. And only an inspired customer using psychology in a positive way can inspire a customer to buy. For example, I would say that using social proof, endorsements, testimonials, this is an example of positive use of psychology, because customers are more positively inclined towards your product, once they see that more people are buying it, or positioning yourself as an expert or a thought leader through the content you write, through your social media posts. That is another way of improving your credibility, your likability, and convincing the customer to buy. So there is both positive and negative use of psychology in selling. Both have their uses, but I am certainly an advocate of inspired selling, which uses positive psychology to inspire the customer to buy. And that only an inspired seller can do.
That is a wonderful answer. And to think that, you know, when a company is saying only two left in stock is like negative psychology. I think all women should learn this fact, because whatever you buy, whether it's, you know, jewelry, makeup or clothes, is always just the last two in stock. And it really does generate some kind of pressure in the head, you know, that FOMO of missing out.
Right.
So thank you for explaining this. My next question is, 5 tips you would like to give women who want a career in sales.
So the tips I would like to give all sales professionals are mostly the same. For women, there's an additional tip, like a bonus, which is again, positive psychology, giving bonuses or free gifts, like a bonus, which I will add in the end. But I would say for all sales professionals, the first thing is that you have to be a curious person, because you have to be genuinely interested in asking questions, in knowing more, in learning more. So curiosity, being a lifelong learner, being genuinely interested in people and their likes, dislikes, their aspirations, what moves them, what causes they are interested in, because that will help you to learn about more interesting topics and also connect with the customer through your sales conversation. So that is important. And also taking a pride in your work and in your craft. So when you are proud and passionate about sales as a profession, it shows in the energy and enthusiasm you bring to the sales conversation. And once the customer can see that, they will genuinely like you and trust you. And you know that customers buy from people who they like and trust. So ultimately, it's all about establishing that authentic connection, and your energy, enthusiasm and positivity, which you bring to the table, establishes that meaningful connection with the customer. And finally, I would say, be the best at what you do. So constantly upgrade yourself, your selling skills, your knowledge of technology, because there's a lot of technology and psychology, like I had mentioned earlier, being used in selling. And there are a lot of tasks which are repetitive, which can be automated to save you time and effort. And that time and effort, you can focus on getting to know more about your customer's needs and, again, customizing your conversation, spending more time on selling rather than on the repetitive tasks. And one last tip, which I would say is very important for women, is that they should make their own choices. Often, women do not choose a career in sales proactively. And sometimes they do, but they drop out, like I told you earlier, 35% at entry levels, but many drop out due to pressure, due to social norms, due to the feeling that we cannot take care of our responsibilities. We will not be able to balance our work and time. This is a male-dominated profession, and so on. So we need to believe in ourselves, and we need to have a voice and ask for what we deserve. We need to negotiate for what we deserve at work and in life. And that's across, whether in your profession, whether in your family, or whether outside in society. This is my advice specifically for women.
Okay, that's a wonderful nudge to all the women who are thinking of a career in sales. And I think also you mentioned that you need sales for everything in life. You need to sell yourself all the time. So can you expand on this, like why you said this?
Right. So we have now so far been focusing on the corporate sales professionals. But as you rightly mentioned, you require selling in every aspect of life. So whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a solopreneur, whether you're a consultant, whether you're a coach, or even if you're a finance professional, you need to negotiate with vendors. If you're an HR professional and you're in talent acquisition, you need to convince a future employer that your company is the best place to work for, and you need to be able to hire the best talent. So, and even if you're a homemaker or if you're a parent, you need to convince your children to eat more carrots, more vegetables, because they provide nutrition, and they negotiate a lot nowadays. They're definitely very intelligent, even in terms of adhering to their timings. For example, I have a 20-year-old, and I know that I have to negotiate with her for the time when she gets back home after her social events and her party. So you require it in every aspect of life, as a parent, as as a professional, as an entrepreneur, or in corporate selling. And that is why I feel that women should get over this fear which they have of speaking up, of negotiating, of asking for what they deserve. This is a lot to do with our social conditioning and the way we are brought up. We are always told to be submissive, to be quiet. And the kind of adjectives which are used for women are also, she's so beautiful, she's so nice, she's so cute, and so on. Whereas the adjectives used at home for boys are, you're brave, you're intelligent, you're courageous, and so on. So you're teaching a boy to be bold and brave and intelligent, and you're teaching a woman that it's fine as long as she's looking lovely and looking pretty, even if she doesn't have much to say for herself. So all this conditioning, I think, starts at home, and we need to bring up both our boys and girls in the right way so that we have a generation of forward-looking people who treats women and men the same. High time that women realized that they should make their own choices for themselves and what is best for them, rather than making choices which conform to stereotypes or which conform to what society expects from you, or your family expects from you, or your parents expect from you, or what even your children expect from you. I'm not denying the importance of family and the people around you. No. All I'm saying is women need to have a voice and need to speak up, to ask for what they deserve in work, in life, with their families, and not say suffer in silence and compromise and adjust all the time. We keep applauding women for being, you know, virtuous and self-sacrificing and compromising and so on. Whereas I think we also need to applaud a woman for her capabilities, her talent, her success, and her professional achievements. And that's when really we will value ourselves based on those more than other things, which is including what society says about us or appreciates in us.
You rightly said that women are told to be sweet and be nice, and okay, nice girls don't ask for raises. Like, nice girls don't ask for
they don't argue,
you know, the commissions, the sales commissions that they deserve. So you're absolutely bang on in that front. And in fact, this whole channel is about women experts who have made it, who have understood how the industry works, to advise those who are starting out or to advise those people who don't have a voice. So thank you so much for this guidance. Chitra, you actually conduct free mentoring sessions. If a person goes to your LinkedIn profile, it's clearly mentioned that you offer 30-minute free mentoring sessions. So one thing is, before I ask you what you teach in those sessions, which I will, is like, how can you afford to do this? Like, how do you have the time? And what about the fact that, you know, it is going to consume your entire day, the more popular your offer gets?
You're right. There is money required for social media, for technology, and we need to invest in the community for it to grow, which is why we have a basic and a premium model. In the basic model, we offer one mentoring session free, introductory, and in the premium model, we offer four mentoring sessions, but that is, of course, a paid model. So that is how we are running the community. Having said that, the objective of the community being not-for-profit is not to make money, because I believe that one should work towards impact and towards making a difference. And the more lives you touch and reach out to and make a difference to, the more value you add to society. So I measure it in terms of impact and the difference I'm making to people's lives, and not only the money I'm making. Second question you asked me is, how can I afford time? Of course, I do limit my mentoring sessions. I do one, maximum two a day. So I do not do more than that, because I need to invest time in my community. I need to invest time in curating workshops. I also look at it as an investment in my own community, because the objective of the community is to encourage and mentor women. And if I cannot find the time to do that, I certainly cannot expect other women to join me in this community to offer it to more women. And if women who are our target audience cannot experience it, I cannot expect them to become ambassadors and talk about it to others. So certainly it's like a way of promoting the community too. And it's an investment of time in something which I'm very, very passionate about.
Apparent. Your passion is apparent. Chitra, could you share some of the tips that you offer in these mentoring sessions on this channel? So, you know, for the benefit of the people who are watching right now.
Right. So the first question I ask them is, why do you want to learn more about selling? If they're already in corporate sales, Then I ask them that, why have you chosen sales? Because I want to understand their motivations and their impulses and what exactly are their goals in choosing a career in sales. If they are entrepreneurs or if they are solopreneurs or a consultant or a coach, who I speak a lot to, consultants and coaches, because I'm surrounded by them in my community. And they offer a lot of value in terms of personal effectiveness and leadership coaching. But again, they are also afraid of selling. And they also think it's not their cup of tea. They'd rather delegate it or leave it to experts, so-called. And they don't want to do it themselves. So I spend a lot of time asking them this one question in the beginning, that why is it that you want to sell more? Why is it that you want to sell better? What is your goal? And based on that goal, I then offer them advice. So if you're a corporate sales professional, I tell them that is your goal just going from deal to deal, closing this deal quarter to quarter, making your quota, making commissions? Because if that is the case, then I don't think that you should be in selling, because you're viewing selling as a profession. And the minute you do that, the passion and the energy go out. View it as a calling. View it as an opportunity to make a customer's life different, to improve their lives, to add value. And view it as an opportunity to change the world one customer at a time. So I truly believe that salespeople have this unique opportunity, and we are born with the unique talent of changing the world one customer at a time. Because his or her world before they use our product and after they use a product is entirely different. And you can show him or her that world, and you can show him or her that experience and how it will change their life. If you feel that sales is a calling and it's an opportunity to add value and make a difference, then you're in the right place. Otherwise, you're not. So first thing is your whole attitude and the passion you bring. For example, I tell you, if you meet a salesperson in a, say, just you're going to a sari showroom and, hello, madam, aye, without any enthusiasm, acha kaun sa sari de, you know, you're just not happy. It's not a positive interaction. Whereas if that person is like, good morning, madam, what would you like? So on, that energy, that enthusiasm, that pride, that conviction, and that confidence which you bring to your work certainly helps you in establishing a meaningful connection with the customer. So ultimately, I tell them that you bring your pride, your confidence, and your belief in yourself, your company, and your product to the table with you. Definitely, you will succeed at selling. It's all here, right? It's all here. You believe in yourself, your product, your company, and your service, you will be able to sell with conviction and confidence 100%. That's what I tell them. Change this, you will change the world. That's what I tell them. So a lot of people ask me, you seem to be a motivational speaker rather than a seller. And I tell them that inspiring people to sell is the same thing. In fact, for me, motivation is not a word to use because I don't believe that external push, motivation is like an external push or a trigger. Right? That is the definition of motivate. When you make somebody do something, right? You offer an external push or a trigger for them to take an action. And inspiration is something which comes from within you, that urge, that feeling that I must do something. And when you're inspired, you give it your best. And when you're motivated, till that push or that trigger is there behind you, whether it's your boss holding the gun at your head or whether it is the fear of losing your job, whatever it is, that is the one which makes you run. Another example I can give you here is, you know, you see a good ad for a gym and they say, okay, lose 6 kgs in 6 months and so on. All tall promises. That's motivation. So it makes you sign up. Okay, I sign up. 3 days you go. 1 week you go. After that, I'm so bored. My muscles are aching. Nothing is happening. And you stop going. You don't have the conviction. You don't have the urge. And you don't have the inspiration to carry on. So that is why I say that inspiration works better than motivation, because if that feeling is there within you, I need to be at my fittest, healthiest self. And I need to be able to manage my energy so that I can come back to each day with energy and enthusiasm. Then you are inspired to keep going to the gym every day. Nobody needs to push you and tell you and so on. You do things on your own. And that's the difference between motivation and inspiration. And that's what I'm trying to get women to do through this community, become inspired sales.
Fabulous. I can feel the energy, Chitra.
Thank you so much. If I can get
that's lovely.
That across, it's great.
Yes, you have. In short, it's like, don't do it because it's your job. Do it because you actually feel.
Believe you can make a difference.
Believe and in the product and the service, and you can make a difference to somebody's life. That's what.
Right. And for an entrepreneur, additionally, I tell them that who better to be an ambassador of your product than you?
Absolutely.
You are the one who's made this product. For example, you're selling facial oils. You are the one who is customizing them. And you, if you are not proud and you don't want to showcase your product and tell the customer, look at the fabulous skin I have. And that's because I use my own products. You are being an ambassador and endorsing your own product. There can be no better salesperson than you for your product. So don't shy away from selling. That's something I additionally tell entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, that if you are talking about yourself or showcasing your product or your service, it doesn't mean you're being pushy. It right. just means that you are owning and claiming your value and you're asking for your value. A lot of women talk about imposter syndrome and they say, we don't feel like people value us. But I say it is all within you, because you know, you should know how to own and claim your value. If you don't own your value, you will forever feel like an imposter. And if you don't claim your value and ask for what you deserve, you will forever feel inferior. Then nobody from outside can come and tell you that you're worth this or this is your value and so on. You need to own your value, you need to claim your value, and you need to ask for your value.
Generally, women are very shy to market themselves. And, you know, again, connecting to the previous part of the discussion, that they are told to be nice. They're told that, you know, women do not ask. Asking is aggressive. They should be given. So, again, how do women break out of this cultural conditioning? How do you get women to let go of this shyness?
Right. So I tell them that you need not tick all the boxes. You need not be perfect. So research has proven that women apply for a job position or a role only if they tick off 100% of the qualification criteria. So this is research. It is proved. A man would do the same if he's 60% there. He would apply for the job. A lot of men, you know, they believe in winging it. So they'll get into the interview and you might have seen that they say, sir, ho jayega, you know, this will get done. And you know, they don't have a clue, but they do it because they're confident. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It is the way they approach things and it is the way they are structured. I'm also not advocating that women should wing it, but I'm saying there is no point in waiting till you're 100% perfect until you have access to 100% of the information before you even speak up in a meeting. In a meeting, a woman presents a point of view only when she's 100% sure of her facts and figures. Until she is not, she will keep cross-checking or she will not open her mouth. And it takes at least 10 minutes for us to establish ground, you know, in which it is the question is being addressed mostly to the male in the room, irrespective of the fact whether he's junior or senior. It takes at least 10 minutes for you to kind of get round to them understanding, the people at the discussion table, that you are the one who's leading this discussion and you would like to. So very politely, you can get people to come to the point by saying that this is the context, this is the background, and this is how I, use the word I, would like this meeting to progress. Then you know, everybody knows you're in charge. So this is just one example that you take the lead, introduce the context, the background, the objective of the meeting, and say, this is how I would like to proceed. Are there any ideas or suggestions on how to take it forward? If someone gives an idea, incorporate it and then say, yes. So can we go forward on this? So that is a way women can learn to be more assertive. And having said this, I think women are in this, you know, double bind dilemma, both for confirming and for not conforming to the stereotypical norms, we are penalized. For example, an assertive, confident woman is seen as aggressive and too bold, you know, and too much. Too much is a word used. And if you are collaborative, if you're nurturing, you show emotions at work, oh, she's too emotional. So we are in this double bind dilemma, and it's always a fine balance. Again, there are no right or wrong answers. But the fact is that you need to be assertive. You need to be speaking up at meetings. You need to now, social media gives you a fantastic opportunity to sit behind a table in a computer and showcase the content and value you can offer. Position yourself as a thought leader, connect with leaders across industries, across your own industry, and generally be seen as somebody who's adding value to the community and industry. When you're seen as a person who's adding value, even your company will find it very difficult to refuse an opportunity to you. And even as an entrepreneur, it will be very difficult for customers not to take you seriously and give you the respect and value you deserve, because you've already positioned yourself as an expert.
really well said. And the point which you made about research in the beginning of this answer is something that also Deepika Rao, who is the CEO of Ginger Hotels, and she's the first women leader first woman CEO in the IHCL group companies. She also said that, you know, a woman will never speak up until, she ticks all the 100% boxes. Like, you,
absolutely.
I mean, I think this is a very, very valid point. And I would say, if men say that they will wing it, which they do, I think it's also women who have succeeded in their respective professions who have said that they will wing it. I think it's something we got to keep, teaching, like as we network and as we have these communities, like the ones you have created and I have created, that we share this knowledge with each other, that, you know, if somebody else is doing it, we can do it too. So right. Thank you for this fabulous discussion, Chitra. It's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you for listening to the Shine in Sales podcast presented by Sales Womentry. If you liked this episode, do listen to our upcoming episodes where we will interview inspiring sales leaders who will share their tips and strategies for success in sales. Happy selling!